Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. If you don't already, you can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going. This is one of those occasions where I wish that we had guests like in studio because our guest today is known for like smoking things. I have a need for that type of stuff. So I just wish he was in studio today so I can get some like phenomenal food.
Is Elon Musk coming on today?
No.
I was going to say, this could go a variety of different directions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Smoking food.
Our guest today is Heath Cummings of CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at HeathCummingsSR. You know, guys, I usually like to open the show with something funny, but this time of the year, I don't do anything besides just working and eating pizza. So it's a busy month, but I'm here for it. Fantasy football is awesome. What a job, right, guys?
We are so incredibly lucky. And yes. Yeah, I pretty much just do football and then try to smoke something on the weekend.
There you go.
Smoke some food. I want to be clear in this. Like, I didn't state it, and that's on me. He smokes food, like barbecue, like brisket. That's what I'm all about.
Oh, man. That would have been awesome if we could eat some smoked brisket right after the show.
I actually did something new yesterday. For the first time, I smoked a rack of lamb.
Ooh, lamb.
And it was phenomenal.
Well, you're just making everybody listening hungry. That's not okay, Heath. So here's the plan for today's show, guys. It's a packed show, so we're gonna jump right into it. No funny business. We've got some news to talk about, and then we're gonna do a segment called Buy or Sell the Hype. There's a bunch of players getting hype, as always, in the preseason. We're gonna talk about whether or not you should believe it or not, and then at the end we're gonna do something else new called What Are the Odds. I'm really looking forward to this one. There's gonna be some fun ones, and we're just gonna give the odds on what we think is going to happen. Before we dive into the news, though, I want to tell you a little bit about our draft assistant. So if you guys haven't used our draft assistant, Tex, can you tell them a little bit about it? This thing is amazing.
Yeah, the draft assistant, so you can sync it up with most leagues. On ESPN and NFL.com, you're able to actually link it up with your draft, so you could draft right from the draft wizard. It's essentially like having 150-plus experts in the room with you, telling you who they would draft. Now, you don't always have to go by their advice, but it definitely helps to have them on your side.
It definitely does. And by the way, you can get this if you've got MVP or Hall of Fame premium access. All auction tools like the Auction Draft Assistant. Just get your hands on Draft Wizard, do a draft, see what it's all about, and you are going to love this. This is what initially drew me to the Fantasy Pro site.
It's impossible to do like an auction draft without it. Auctions are like phenomenal. It has an auto inflation feature into it where if players are going more than you expected them to, it inflates certain positions. It's fantastic.
Make sure to check out our draft assistant at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Hey, by the way, if you want access to this, I talked about the MVP and Hall of Fame premium packages. You can get that plus all our premium tools and content. It's a 6-month, $65 value. You can get that. All you have to do is be a first-time depositor to Yahoo DFS. You deposit $10 and you get, again, our $65 value 6-month premium package to our Hall of Fame upgrade. And you can find that at fantasypros.com/offers. All right, so guys, we did have a little bit of news. Antonio Brown is seeing a foot specialist. I did not see this coming. And I know Jared Smola, who's come on our podcast, his ears are perked up about Tyrell Williams. Heath, I want to ask you, though, does this concern you about drafting Antonio Brown in the second round?
it does not sound like this is something that they think will linger to the regular season. So, like, for the actual injury itself, I'm not actually that concerned. But I don't love the fact that first year in a new offense, and generally, I think most people think kind of a difficult offense to catch on to, and trying to build rapport with a new quarterback who he's likely to get mad out in the next month and yell at on the sideline. He's got to build some rapport before he can yell at him on the sideline like that. So I don't love it. I didn't like Brown very much in the second round anyway. I'd be fine with him in the third, but I don't think there's as much upside as there should be.
So, Tex, I know you're really worried about foot injuries. I agree with Heath. It doesn't sound as concerning, but right now his ADP is wide receiver number 7. He's still going ahead of Tyreek Hill. That's too high for me. I can't do it. What do you think?
It's not like a turf toe or anything like that, or a Lisfranc injury. It's actually like just basically the skin on the bottom of his foot from being like overworked is what I read. Basically, there was a doctor that wrote up a report on it. I tried looking into this, and I don't think it's going to affect in terms of how I feel about Antonio Brown, the player, this year. It does affect, obviously, what Heath was talking about with the chemistry with Derek Carr. Derek Carr had issues with Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper is one of the better separators in the NFL. So, I mean, Antonio Brown can get all open all he wants, but he needs Derek Carr to hit him, and he needs to be able to get on the same page like he was with Ben Roethlisberger. I love Antonio Brown, the talent, one of the best receivers of all time, but I have my questions about Derek Carr. I have my questions about the offense in general. So it's forcing me to like, if there's a tiebreaker between, like, say, like him and Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm going to lean Juju right now.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in grabbing any of these second-tier wide receivers, Juju, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, just because I feel like you can go a little bit deeper. Tags, we've talked about Brandon Cooks quite a bit, just how consistent he is season to season. I'm a little bit worried about Cooper Kupp coming back and being 100% just based on all the guys who tore their ACLs in 2017, and none of them really did what we expected in 2018. So I think Cooper Kupp, I think Brandon Cooks is going to eat. So I would just pass on those guys and grab myself a running back if you're picking there.
It's fair. Now, Heath, what are you doing? Are you like, have you developed a strategy? Are you like me, where it's like kind of like you just kind of go with the value throughout the draft?
I mostly go with the value throughout the draft, but I do think I'm a little bit more wide receiver heavy than you guys are, especially like if I have a pick in the top four, I'm obviously taking a running back.
But sure,
this past month has not been kind to the second tier running backs.
No,
and so like I know you referenced Juju in there as part of that second tier. I think he's part of the first tier. I think you look at the target share that Antonio Brown got when he was Ben's number one. You look at the number of targets that Juju got last year with Brown on the team. I think there's a chance Juju's just the best receiver in fantasy this year. I definitely think he's going to be top five.
You know, that's really interesting. We haven't talked a ton about his upside just because I'm a little bit skeptical of Big Ben falling off a cliff. I think he already did last year. He just threw 675 passes. I'm worried about the pass attempts going down here. I'm worried about him going outside and taking on, you know, shadow corners, sometimes double teams rather than being in the slot. Tags, do you think he's going to be in the slot more often?
Yeah, I think they want him to. And three wide receiver sets, they'll put him there because James Washington and Dante Moncrief aren't known as like slot heavy receivers. So I do think that they want Juju there. And that's like fantastic for his production, like when trying to project it. But my issue is that Juju last year, he saw 166 targets. Like he was on the field, he was getting targeted, and he's one of those guys that a rare occasion where you could lock a player in for 10 plus targets. So I can't disagree with Heath in the fact that it's really tough to find a receiver. Like looking at the ADP right now, the only player that you can get outside the top 7 wide receivers who averaged 10 targets per game last year is Stephon Diggs. And Diggs is going as the 14th wide receiver. I feel like Juju, his efficiency is going to come down just a little bit. He might see a few more targets. It might even out, which is why I have him in that second tier of receivers. I just can't put him ahead of guys like, you know, Adams, Hopkins, you know, Julio, Michael Thomas. Those are the guys that I would put ahead of him for sure.
You know, it's really interesting because Juju Smith-Schuster had more receiving yards last year with Antonio Brown on the team than Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams. Adam Thielen had a huge year. Antonio Brown, the only difference was the touchdowns. If that goes up and Antonio Brown's not there hogging all the red zone targets, I think Heath is right. I think he's got that kind of upside to be the top receiver.
For sure.
I'm just not so sure that that's going to be what happens when Antonio Brown leaves.
Yeah, that's the question. Is like, Heath, did you hear the comments that Keenan Allen had about that? Like basically saying that Juju, he's going to start having nightmares basically about the cornerbacks that he's going to face and like, you know, how to get open against them, trying to figure out new ways, almost reinvent his route tree because it's going to be a little bit different in the matchups he's going to have.
Oh, I do think it'll be a little difficult. I did see that. And I think it's good stuff. I think he will benefit kind of from what Keenan Allen has a lot of times. And you guys talked about it, staying in the slot. A lot of those guys just don't go in there very often.
All right, the other piece of news I want to talk about, and there's a lot more news, but we're going to save it for the buy or sell hype because a lot of the news right now is just hype. But Andrew Luck is out another week with this calf injury. Now, obviously, a calf is not a shoulder, but Heath, does this concern you? Are you moving Andrew Luck down to maybe QB5?
I can't find, like, I'm not going to move him down, but it has kind of changed the way I look at the quarterback position. And I know we are all just going to say, wait on quarterback. But there's a certain point, especially in our industry drafts, where I'll take Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. I'm just mostly skipping Rodgers and Luck, and I would rather have Wentz, Cam, Baker at their cost. So I haven't actually moved him down in my quarterback rankings, but when you're talking about what the cost is going to be, I'm just not drafting him.
Yeah, right now Andrew Luck's ADP is QB2, ahead of Deshaun Watson, ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Tags, I wasn't getting any Luck shares anyway. This kind of cements it for me, but like Heath said, I didn't change my rankings at all.
Right. Yeah. I have Luck at number 4. I'm not moving him from there because I feel like, you know, the guys like Baker Mayfield, we can expect them to take a leap, but I'll always take the guy with proven production over him. So I'll take Andrew Luck. I think he's going to be fine. The player I'm more worried about missing time for the Colts is Paris Campbell. We want to see him in practice, but he has not been on the practice field for the past week. And that's concerning, you know, for a guy that's trying to work his way into the up the depth chart, I should say.
I like his upside, but I'm just not really seeing him getting snaps right away. I think it's going to be Funchess there. So I don't know. Like Paris Campbell, I got plenty of best ball shares, but at this point, it's kind of, what are you doing draft him in a redraft league? He's just a waiver wire speed dial guy. Do you agree, Heath, or is he somebody that you're targeting?
Yeah, and I think this calf injury for Luck is actually bad for Campbell. Because, I mean, rookie receivers, we talked about it with Antonio Brown, but it's a lot more important for Paris Campbell to earn Andrew Luck's trust than anything Antonio Brown has to do. So I don't think in a standard redraft league, it's very likely the person that drafts Paris Campbell ever gains any benefit from him. Someone else is going to pick him up.
You know, you mentioned Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton. They're all in that second tier on our rankings at fantasybros.com/rankings. I've got Matt Ryan there, too. He's in that tier, too. I've got him ahead of Andrew Luck as my QB4 right now. I wanted to ask you, Heath, which of those three guys, Mayfield, Wentz, Newton, are you ending up with the most of right now?
Wentz is the one that I take the most, and I just feel more confident in his pass volume and his offense. I hate so much of what Philadelphia has done from a fantasy football perspective. It's great for the NFL. It's great for their chances of winning, but they've got way, way too many mouths to feed. That's also awesome for Carson Wentz. My only concern with him is, does he play 16 games? And at this position, I just don't really care. Like, if he's going to give me 10 to 12 weeks of top 5 production, I can stream the rest and I'm fine.
I've got him a lot lower in my rankings just because I don't know if that back is going to hold up for a full season. I love the offensive line. It's one of the best in the league. But I've actually been drafting Carson Wentz a fair amount. I mean, I'd rather have Jameis Winston with where he's going in the draft, so I have a lot more shares and haven't been getting as much of Wentz. But I wouldn't mind owning him because when he plays, you're right, he's going to be a QB1. Tex, what do you think? We haven't talked about Wentz really at all.
Yeah, Wentz, so my concern with him is that we have 1 year of elite production that he had, and, you know, it was arguably an MVP-type season, but now coming off the ACL, it's like there's all these injuries that have to add up, and they added DeSean Jackson, and by the way, DeSean Jackson throughout his career, every single quarterback that he has played with, and there's been a lot of them, every single quarterback has increased their yards per attempt when he's in the lineup. So basically, that can't hurt Wentz. My concern here is that he's not going to run as much anymore, where it's like, you know, like before it was like we could rely on him for some rushing yards because he was a young quarterback. He was mobile, like he could move in the pocket. But now it's like, I think they're going to try and turn him into more of a pocket passer. Their defense is going to be a bit healthier this year, so they should take a step forward. And therefore, it might limit the pass attempts. They might go with more of the running, like a run heavy approach with Sproles back there, with Miles Sanders added, with Jordan Howard added. I worry about the upside with Wentz. I don't think that he's a bad pick, and a lot of people have dissected my rankings on this, but Bobby and I have talked about this, where if you go through like the quarterback, like 7 through 16 or 17, like I feel like it's hard for me to dissect those guys because they're all so damn close. I think it just tells you what you want. Like, just take the guy that's like the last man standing, like just wait at quarterback. And I know we all say that, but if I don't get one of those top tier guys, if I don't get Mahomes, Rodgers, Watson, I'm waiting at the position. I'm just going to wait until, you know, I'll let everybody else decide what quarterback I end up with.
I want to talk a little bit about Damian Williams being absent from practice. That's not promising. Tags, I know we kind of poo-pooed on Carlos Hyde, but you know what? If he's going to play in Andy Reid's offense, even for 1 or 2 weeks, I want him. What do you think, Heath?
I don't think Carlos Hyde is very good. I don't know that it matters at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're the starting running back for the Chiefs. I want you in my life. And I'm a little bit nervous about the Damian Williams situation just because we have no track record here other than a 6 or 7 game stretch. He's never had to deal with any type of workload. He does not have, like, it's not like the coach is going to say, yeah, as long as he's here a couple weeks beforehand, we'll be fine. And Reed has sounded a little bit frustrated by the fact he's not there. We got a little bit of hype earlier last week about Darwin Thompson. We got a little bit of hype over the weekend about Carlos Hyde. I don't think that's an accident. I think that's stuff that's coming out to hopefully get Damian Williams on the field.
I'll tell you what, I'd love if they traded for Mike Boone. I'd be doing cartwheels. That's not going to
happen. Oh, stop with your Mike Boone love.
Dude, watch him in the preseason. You're going to fall in love. He's going to be the number three in Minnesota. So if anyone's listening and thinks that's me advising you to draft him, it's not. Now, Tags, are you worried that Damian Williams might actually lose this job if he doesn't get healthy soon?
We had our concerns about Damian Williams before this news even broke, before he like strained the hamstring. It was like, this is a guy that, you know, we still, in a regular season game, we've never seen him handle the ball more than, I think it's 11 carries, or it might be 13 in a regular season game. And so many people want to talk about the playoffs and how good he looked, you know, at the end of the season. People must.
Well, why aren't they drafting Sony Michel in the first or second round then?
Well, I mean, that's true, too. He's part of a situation where he can score 20 touchdowns. But when it comes to Damian Williams, like, we mustn't forget that he came into the lineup in, like, what was it, week 13? Like, everybody else in the NFL had gone through the grueling part of the schedule. It's like you get worn down at that time. Everybody is beaten to crap. He came in completely fresh. I think before that week, he had, like, what did he have, like, 8 carries all year long? The guy was fresh as can be. I think that was part to do with it and why he looked so fantastic. But he's in that RB2 territory where it's like you understand you're taking on some major risk when you do it. And that's usually when I'm going to be taking wide receivers in that range.
You know, we do this article every single year where we ask a bunch of experts, like 100 experts, who do you think is the most likely running back to bust? And when that comes out later in the week, I would imagine Damian Williams is going to be the consensus top running back. He does have extreme upside. Obviously, we've seen Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt do great things in this offense and people before them as well. So Damian Williams could be a top 6 or 7 running back. I'm not expecting it, and I do think he has the highest bust rate. I've got him at RB19. Now, Tags, you thought I was going to let you skate on this. You said Sony Michel has 20 touchdown upside. Do you really believe that?
I mean, LeGarrette Blount scored 17 touchdowns, and he's not very good.
Yeah, I guess you're right, man. I don't know. I feel like that's like a 98th percentile outcome.
Well, think about it. Gronk is not there to steal like those double-digit touchdowns anymore, and it's not like Brady's going to fade into oblivion and just die.
James White, Rex Burkhead. I don't think. I just don't think Sony Michel will be that workhorse because they've got so many other options.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he's going to score 20 touchdowns. I'd be drafting him in the first round. But I'm saying that that's the potential he has.
I mean, I guess anybody does it in that offense. So, all right, guys, we're going to move on to buy or sell the hype in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass Tags. I love this, man.
NFL Game Pass is like something you can't miss. You know, if you ever like wonder about a player and you hear us talking about it. If you want to watch Amari Cooper, you can literally go to NFL Game Pass, type in Amari Cooper, and it will show you every game. It'll actually break down like the targets that he got in the game, and you could actually watch every snap and see why I rave about him.
So Tags is going to go look at Devontae Parker highlights right after this and just get really excited again. Guys, only with NFL Game Pass do you get every out-of-market preseason game live. And with the preseason underway, your season can start now with NFL Game Pass. You can get a first look at all the rookies, all the players on new teams. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. I'll tell you what, I'm most excited to watch Justice Hill this preseason because I think he's going to just absolutely steal the show. With NFL Game Pass, I can watch Hill live in the preseason. If I miss the game, maybe I'm out to eat a pizza buffet or something, I can just replay it after it's aired. Whoever you're going to watch this preseason, you'll need NFL Game Pass to do so if you're out of market. How is Kyler Murray going to look in, leading Cliff Kingsbury's offense? What about Antonio Brown going into this Raiders offense? How's he going to fit? Can N'Keal Harry win a Patriots starting job as a rookie? Make sure to see all the action this preseason with NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Sign up now at NFL.com/fantasypros. Again, that's a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass at NFL.com/fantasypros. All right, so buy or sell hype. We got to start with Miles Sanders. Heath, you've seen all the hype. I'm not sure, are you on this train? Are you a believer in Miles Sanders this season? A lot of guys I respect in the industry love him. Tags and I are a little bit low, though.
It's not even so much about Miles Sanders. I do believe that he is the most talented running back on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
But what does that mean to us, that he's going to touch the ball 12 to 14 times a game?
Yes.
I believe in the talent. I'm fine with the hype. I think he's going to have some good games. I am terrified of all the running backs they have on that team. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier in the show. I hate what the Eagles have done from a fantasy football perspective, except what it means for Carson Wentz, because there are just too many mouths to feed.
Anyone who's been listening to this show since March remembers that Miles Sanders was by far my favorite running back in the class. And then he went to Philadelphia, and it's just kind of like, I mean, I'm probably the lowest on Miles Sanders of anyone we've talked to on the podcast this season, Tex. I've got him RB39 behind Royce Freeman, Matt Breida, Adrian Peterson, Austin Eckler, all these guys. Where do you have him, Tags?
I moved him up recently. So basically, this is reminding me a lot of Chris Carson last year, where it's like Chris Carson, every single beat reporter that went to the Seahawks camp, they talked about Chris Carson, saying that you watch in the field and he's just different. And he's like, he's the clear-cut starter in this backfield. Like, don't take Rashad Penny, that he's the guy. And we didn't want to believe it, but I'm like, I don't know. When there's like four or five different national reporters going there and saying the same thing, you might want to pay attention. Miles Sanders is getting that hype. Like, he is getting that same exact hype that he's by far and away the best running back on the team. And I believe it. I mean, Darren Sproles is like 90. Jordan Howard is a plotter. He's a 1-2 down back. He's nothing. He doesn't offer versatility to the offense. And I think it's crazy that Doug Peterson traded for him, considering Matt Nagy literally runs a similar offense. You know, they're both under Andy Reid. And it's like, thinking it's going to change things. No, the Bears moved on. I think that the Eagles are going to realize that. I think Sanders, he's someone I'm moving up boards. I have him as my RB30 right now.
I mean, I understand loving the talent and knowing that he's going to be the starter. I know he's going to be the starter too. He's going to beat out Jordan Howard. There's no doubt about it. But Heath, what are the odds? We'll start this a little bit early. What are the odds that Miles Sanders even surpasses 200 touches this year?
I was just looking at my projections, and I might be a little bit low right now. I've got him right around 170. And I thought it might take him a week or two to earn a little larger share of the workload. So maybe 180, 190 is a better. I've got him at RB36. I think the odds are less than 50% that he earns 200 touches this year.
Tex, does that not bother you? I mean, you've talked about the stats so many times before. Like, Darren Sproles, what was it? Darren Sproles is the only running back who's ever played more than 60% of snaps in a game?
Yeah, that, like, basically to hit the... Darren Sproles is the only running back that has played under Doug Peterson that has totaled more than 43 snaps in a game. And him re-signing worried me a little bit, but they keep talking about him being a special teams guy and that, you know... And, you know, he is getting to the age now where it's like, how much can we really rely on him? Miles Sanders is someone they somewhat reached for. I mean, this was not considered a strong running back class. So to get him where they did, it's like they reached, obviously there's draft equity there. What did they trade, a fifth round pick for Jay Ajayi? So while people thought that Jay Ajayi might get that role, I never believed that Jay Ajayi was an elite talent. I think that Miles Sanders is a much more well-rounded running back than Jay Ajayi. So, you know, knowing they have him on that rookie contract, why not use him up? If there's someone that's going to, you know, make Peterson change his mind, it's probably someone like Miles Sanders. You know, they've tried the approach of the you know, the multi-back. They've had the Wendell Smallwoods, the Corey Clements, the Josh Adams, the Jay Ajayis. They've had all that. And it's like, now we have Sanders and he's wowing us. Why the hell do we need to take him off the field? I just like to think that Doug Peterson's going to be smart and say, if this guy's head and shoulders above, which everyone, like by all reports, he looks like he's playing on a different speed, different level than everybody else. Why take him off the field if he can play all three downs?
I'll say this, if Miles Sanders is the starting running back and a workhorse for the Eagles, he has a chance to be a top five running back behind this offensive line. He's got that kind of upside, but you're betting on Doug Peterson changing everything he's ever done. Are you going to bet on that, Tex?
No, it's because I have an RB30. Like, if I knew that he was a starter getting 15 to 20 touches per game, I would have him up as like the RB10.
So, okay, Heath, let's find someone in this range. Let's say Rashad Penny wins the job from Chris Carson, or Chris Carson's knee flares up. Do you think it's more likely that Rashad Penny is an RB1 or Miles Sanders? I would go with Penny. I'd go with Royce Freeman here, too. Matt Breida.
Oh, I'd go with Penny because I think that Seattle might want to run the ball 150 times more than Philadelphia does this year. I think Rashad Penny might get more touches with Chris Carson being fine this year than Miles Sanders does leading the Eagles.
Heck, I'd even put the odds of Todd Gurley getting hurt, and I'm a big Todd Gurley guy. I've got him sixth overall right now, and Daryl Henderson becoming an RB1. I'd put that over Doug Peterson changing everything we know about him and Miles Sanders being an RB1.
I think Daryl Henderson is more likely to be an RB1 than Miles Sanders. I'll agree with that.
All right. I love it. I love it. Tags, you're the odd man out here. What do you think, buddy?
Hold on a second. I agree with the Rashad Penny take. I do not agree with the Daryl Henderson one.
Okay. I mean, you're a big Todd Gurley guy, too. Is it because of Malcolm Brown?
Yeah, I think it would be more of a timeshare behind Gurley if something happened to Gurley where he couldn't play. But I think it's going to be somewhat of a timeshare all year. Gurley's going to be the one to own, obviously. But
I mean, I'm not saying I think Todd Gurley's going to get hurt. I'm just saying it's a starting running back who's going to get a lot of touches. Probably 20-25% chance he gets hurt because that's the rate with starting running backs who get a lot of touches. And if that happens, Henderson's going to go off. I don't think there's a 25% chance Doug Peterson changes.
I'll take Sanders over Daryl Henderson every day.
All right. So, guys, Melvin Gordon, we know he's holding out. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But right now, Justin Jackson is running ahead of Austin Eckler, and he's flying up draft boards. Heath, are you buying the hype on Justin Jackson as being someone you want to own?
He is someone I'd like to draft at some point in the draft. I don't want to go to the point where I want to draft him ahead of Austin Eckler. It's difficult because Eckler, if you just look at what he's done while he's been in the NFL, has been one of the most efficient running backs in the league. And it's very easy to say, yeah, but Melvin Gordon went down and he wasn't good anymore. And that's true, but it's also like a 2.5 game sample size. And so I still think that if there's no Melvin Gordon, I would rather have Austin Eckler. I think there's a very good chance both of these guys are top 30 running backs most weeks. And I could see Jackson scoring more touchdowns than Eckler, but I think Eckler will be more involved in the passing game and more efficient with his touches.
Tags, you know who I think Justin Jackson is if Melvin Gordon does hold out? And that's a big if, right? He's going to start losing money if he misses preseason games. That's what's written into his contract. So I think he'll actually be back by the end of the week, if not, if not the next week. But Justin Jackson, I love his talent. I've hyped him up in the past. He's incredibly agile in the hole. He can break tackles in the open field. But I think he's just Tevin Coleman because he's not going to play that third down role. It's a great offense, just like, you know, Shanahan has a great running back scheme with San Francisco. But where are we drafting Tevin Coleman? We're drafting 31, and that's if Melvin Gordon holds out. So I've still got Justin Jackson as an RB4.
Well, I don't know. It's tough to say, and that's something I found, like, really odd when I was going through, like, Justin Jackson, the game logs where Melvin Gordon was out. And, like, so Justin Jackson, in week 16 last year against Baltimore, he saw 10 targets. So, like, Justin Jackson, like, I think he has better hands than people think. And in Northwestern, he used them. I think he's more built to handle, you know, a 15 to 20 touch role. But truth be told, like, neither of them are going to be, like, the go-to. They're, like, even if I knew Melvin Gordon was not playing at all this season, I would not rank Austin Eckler as a top 20 running back. I wouldn't do it because I feel like he's in a role they like him for. I feel like he's efficient with the touches they give him. Like, if you want to move him into the top 30, okay, I see it. Because I think he'll go from like an 8 to 12 touch role with Melvin Gordon to maybe like a 10 to 15 touch without Melvin Gordon, whereas Justin Jackson walks into those 8 to 12 touches that Eckler was getting. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know if I really want to attack this situation. I'm just hoping that Melvin Gordon comes back so we don't lose another workhorse running back.
I think a really interesting question is who touches the ball more, Austin Eckler if Melvin Gordon doesn't play this year, or Miles Sanders?
It's a good question. I think it's about the same.
I would say it's probably about the same. Yeah, I might lean Sanders, but I'd say it's really close. I think Eckler has value even if Melvin Gordon comes back. Like, I have Eckler at 35, assuming that Melvin Gordon comes back. I would have trouble deciding. So, Heath, Austin Eckler, let's pretend that Melvin Gordon is he's still holding out when you have your draft, you know, heading into the third week of preseason. Would you take Austin Eckler or would you take someone like Kenyon Drake?
I'm struggling so much right now with Kenyon Drake because I think he's really, really good. And I hated that Adam Gase wouldn't give him the football last year. And the only time we've seen a coach do that, Gase did it for 5 games at the end of 2017, and he was awesome. But it sure sounds like he's going to be in a committee again. I would probably, like, if my draft was at the end of August and Melvin Gordon wasn't there, I'd probably take Eckler. Right now, I'm definitely taking Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though Drake wasn't used last year, he was still RB21 in standard leagues.
He was in PPR, he was the RB14. It's stupid. Like, no, like, the dude is talented, and I can't, like, apparently, so I don't know what the details are, so I'm not going to speculate, but reports came out that there's more behind the scenes that people know about with Kenyon Drake. So I don't know if it's like an off the field thing, he has an issue, or the coach is just like, he doesn't care about earning the coach's trust, whatever the case is. But someone told me that there's more to the story than we know.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. If it's an off-the-field issue where you're not going to play him, suspend him. Otherwise, you play the best chance to win. I mean, I guess the Dolphins are punting. They're, you know, what do you call it? They're trying to get Tua. I don't even know if he's the best quarterback in this next draft. But you got to play your best guys, man.
Yeah, it's maddening, dude. I'm with you there. I mean, Kenyon Drake is talented. Like, I would rank him a lot higher if I knew exactly what I was getting. I just don't know right now.
And I'm not a fan of Kalen Ballage. What do you guys think about Kalen Ballage? Are you buying this hype that he's... I mean, I know he's really fast and really big, Heath, but when you watch him play football, it's not very impressive in my mind.
I just think he, like, best case scenario, in my opinion, is he's playing the early down role on a team that's going to be down 2 scores at the end of the first quarter every week.
Yes.
And so I don't have... Like, he's a fine number 4 running back. He could... If we find out for sure that he's starting and going to get 2/3 of the carries, then maybe he's a number three. But I cannot imagine the circumstances that would lead me to ranking him in the top 30.
Hey guys, just what are the what's the timing on this? So the Dolphins literally just released their depth chart, and we have at running back it says Kenyon Drake or Kalen Ballage. At tight end it says Mike Gesicki or O'Leary or Smythe. I don't think they know what's going on right now.
It's bizarre. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
It has Fitzpatrick as a starter, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one's pretty clear. So Devontae Parker all day, unless you're like one of those weird Kenny Stills guys. Hey, by the way, Preston Williams, Xavier Howard said something really nice about him. He thinks he can be an alpha receiver someday. Now, that doesn't mean this year. What was he, undrafted rookie wide receiver, right? But a lot of people have been asking, you know, what do we do with this? Should we draft Preston Williams as a late round sleeper? What about Brian Hill? He's probably going to win the job over Ito Smith. I like both these guys' talent, but I'm not as big of a fan of either of these guys enough to draft them. Just waiver wire speed dial for me. Tags, what do you think?
Yeah, Heath, I'm curious to hear what you think about this. So basically the way I see it is like Preston Williams, like while he might have some talent, there's plenty of wide receivers buried on depth charts that never get a chance to show talent. Like Isaiah Ford and Jakeem Grant are ahead of him right now on the depth chart, as well as, you know, Albert Wilson, Stills, and Parker. So he's buried on the depth chart. And if you don't play as a wide receiver your first year or two, you're kind of screwed. I believe it's going to take multiple injuries. I don't think this is a very potent pass attack right now, no matter who starts. I don't think it's going to be like a team that you want to attack in fantasy. But how do you feel about like someone like Preston Williams, who's buried on the depth chart that might not get much playing time this week? In, even in something like Dynasty, how do you feel about him?
I'm not really considering him right now in anything other than Dynasty, but I'm pretty fond of just holding on to those guys for a couple of years in Dynasty. I've still got some Josh Reynolds shares on my bench. So I do think that most of the time, certainly not all the time, in a dynasty league, the talent's going to find its way to rise to the top. And I wouldn't mind holding him in dynasty, but I've got no interest in redraft.
So I want to talk about another backup running back who right now looks like the starter because, you know, Zeke is holding out. It's Tony Pollard. Dak says he's one of the most exciting players. He can do everything. He's really smart. Heath, do you think this is just him building up the confidence of a young player? Do you think he really believes Tony Pollard can fit really well in this offense?
Didn't they tell us about this time last year that Tavon Austin was going to get 15 to 20 touches a game?
Nope.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's how I feel about that. I think Pollard could be a good, like, he might make a couple of good plays. He might have some positive impact on the Cowboys. I don't anticipate him having much, because it doesn't sound like even if Zeke's not there or if something happens to Elliott, I don't think Tony Pollard's getting a lot of first and second down touches.
Agreed. I think Mike Weber is the actual handcuff.
That's funny because I think it's Alfred Morris.
It might be.
The running back coach came out and said he's got the best feel of any back he's ever seen. Fits his style, fits their philosophy, everything like that. I think Alfred Morris, if Zeke is out, is going to lead this team in touches, and he's not going to be someone you want to own, just like the last time Alfred Morris and Rod Smith were splitting the workload when Zeke was out.
You just want to throw up. If this happens, like if Zeke is not on the field for the Cowboys in week one, I just want to throw up.
I have so many shares of Zeke, man. Like, I don't even know if you can draft him fourth overall now. I think it might be David Johnson. Heath, who are you taking if you've got the fourth pick?
I'm taking Zeke for at least another couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been taking him first, though, so.
Yeah, same.
Me too, yes.
I've got a ton of shares.
Yeah, so Tags, what are you doing? You taking David Johnson or Zeke fourth?
No, yeah, I'm with Heath on this one where it's like, you know, if you want to tell me that you're going to take the other three backs over him, that's fine, but I'm not willing to move him outside the top four just yet. But, you know, I think we get to the point where if 2 weeks go by from today and we're heading into, you know, the third preseason week, that's where I'm like legitimate, because that's when most drafts are going to happen. Third, fourth preseason weeks, that's when they usually do. So that's when I'll start sliding him down even more, because I have to live by my own advice. You know, like I tell people all the time that you can't win your fantasy draft in the first round, but you can definitely help yourself lose it. You could do more damage than you could do, you know, benefit yourself in that round. So it might be better to just, like, you know, in 2 weeks, if he's not there, it might be just better to take a David Johnson or a DeAndre Hopkins or, you know, Davante Adams.
So, Tags, I know you're taking Alvin Kamara first. At this point, I'm back on Saquon Barkley. I don't really love the upside. I don't think he will finish as the RB1. Obviously, he's going to get a ton of volume, though, so he's really safe. I think he's a lock to finish top five if he stays healthy. So I'm going Saquon. Heath, who are you going number one now that Zeke's holding out?
Yeah, I'm going Barkley. And I was going Barkley in PPR before. I had Zeke one in non-PPR, so I'll just take Barkley in both now. The whole Kamara thing's a little bit weird because, like, we kind of, I don't think I was the only one, talked about how he was probably going to regress in terms of efficiency last year, and he did, but then he just scored so many touchdowns that it didn't matter. But I think Barkley is just so much safer than Kamara is.
And plus, they brought in Latavius Murray, who I think is a better version of Mark Ingram. He's been the best goal line back in football over the last 3 years. I think Kamara's going backward, too, and Christian McCaffrey is going to lose some touches, is what they're saying over in Carolina. So, and they told us last year he was going to be a workhorse, and a lot of people didn't believe them. So I actually believe them. I think McCaffrey is going to lose some touches. For me, it's Barkley. Guys, a lot of people have been hyping up Darren Waller in the industry. I know he's athletic. I know Jared Cook did a lot in that offense, but that was when Jordy Nelson was their number one wide receiver. Now they've got Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams. I can't draft Waller as anything more than a top 18, top 19 tight end. Are you buying into this one at all, Heath?
No, I don't think. I mean, there's a ton of targets available from last year, but I'm a pretty big Tyrell guy too, so I don't see enough targets available for him.
Tags, anything on Darren Waller?
I mean, Jared Cook saw 101 targets last year. You just talked about the depth chart. Jared Cook was only a tight end one type performer 43% of the time. So I don't think that Darren Waller is especially more talented than Jared Cook. So, I mean, even though people talk about Jared Cook like he's going to break out with the Saints this year, I'm not one of those people. I don't like the offense very much. I don't trust Derek Carr to get things done consistently. So Waller is a streamer for me. Like, if I see things happening, I'll pick him up as a streamer in a good matchup. But unfortunately, he misses out on the best matchup on anyone's schedule, which is the Raiders.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm actually, if I'm streaming a tight end, I'm going with Jeff Swaim. And this isn't going to surprise some of you all. Some of you who are new listeners probably don't know the name at all, but he's the clear-cut tight end now that Josh Oliver's hurt in Jacksonville. Nick Foles loves tight ends even more than Andrew Luck and Drew Brees. And Jeff Swaim's actually kind of athletic as well. I think he's going to get a lot of targets in this Jacksonville offense. And in week one, they go up against Kansas City. I'll be using him in DFS. And if I need a streaming tight end, I'd rather go with Swaim over Waller. Now, guys, we've got two more to talk about, Josh Gordon and Tevin Coleman. First, I want to tell you about bestfantasyfootballleague.com. They've been providing leagues for 19 years. You can do 10, 12, 14 team leagues, PPR and non-PPR, best ball leagues, weekly in-season leagues, dynasty leagues, redraft leagues. You get 6 different starting lineup options, and entry fees range from $19.99 to $2,999. Everyone's always asking me where they can play in these leagues where you can play 2 games every week. One of them's the head-to-head matchup, of course. The other one is against the league average score for the week, so there's not as much luck involved. You can do that on bestfantasyfootballleague.com. Then the playoffs are 2-week matchups. That way, one rough break doesn't ruin your entire season. On bestfantasyfootballleague.com, it's all about skill. They're trying to remove as much luck from the game as possible. Again, you can do all this at bestfantasyfootballleague.com. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Josh Gordon. I guess this one isn't so much of a hype thing as just the news is changing. I'm not really sure he's going to be reinstated, and if he is, that it's going to be anytime soon. Now, I love Josh Gordon if he plays. You can prorate his pace to 1,200 yards in the games where he played at least 50% of the snaps last year, Heath. But when do you think he's going to come back, and when do you want to draft him at this point?
Before you answer this one, because I really am curious to your input, and that's why I want to say this first. Josh Gordon was suspended multiple times, okay? And then, like, you know, the last suspension he had the 1-year suspension, and then there was an indefinite suspension. Why, you know, now that he was suspended again for the same thing, why do we feel like it's going to be less than a year? Has the NFL ever gone backwards and said, you know what? Maybe we were a little too harsh. Maybe we need to go back down to an 8-game suspension or a 4-game suspension. Unless something changes in the CBA, I don't see any way that Josh Gordon plays football this year.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but I don't have any insight as to the why. My impression I get is that the NFL is really, really open to shifting how strongly they've gone after some of these things, just in terms of non-performance enhancing.
Yeah, I think it's a PR thing all the way.
Maybe more in the area of treatment than punishment. And I don't know the circumstances regarding last year's Josh Gordon deciding to kind of shut things down. I think it's strange, if there was no chance of him playing this year, that the Patriots would have tendered him. He would have signed the tender. He and Brady would have been working out together this offseason. And then he would apply for reinstatement.
But they don't have to pay him anything if he doesn't play, though, right?
But I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that he comes back.
Same here.
I don't know what his current agreement is. I mean, indefinite doesn't really mean anything. It means not determined. He's been suspended for a not determined amount of time. I've been drafting Gordon in the 14th, 15th round area here lately. That's getting bumped up now. It seems like maybe you have to go 13th. I would expect with this news, he may get bumped up a little bit more, but I do think, like, if you told me he's Josh Gordon's been reinstated, why? We don't know. It's the NFL. He's a top 25 wide receiver.
Yep. In best ball leagues, I've got a over 50% share of Josh Gordon. By the way, he asked for reinstatement on Tom Brady's birthday. And like I mentioned, he was really good last year when he actually played more than 50% of the snaps. I think what this really comes down to is the NFL has all these bylaws and they don't have any standards, though. I mean, we saw this with the St. Louis Rams where they said, check these boxes. And the Rams checked those boxes faster than anyone expected. They were going to build two stadiums within 25 years. That's never happened in NFL history or American major sports history before. And the NFL said, we just want the money. So we're just going to change things up. I think they'll do the same exact thing with Josh Gordon because it's a PR issue. They see how people reacted to Tyreek Hill and they say, we want to clean up this image a little bit. And we're going to do it by letting Josh Gordon back in the league. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's a 2-game suspension. I think we'll find that out in the next couple weeks.
Well, he already served. Like, so considering he left last year, I know he said he left on his own terms and he needed to walk away, but he was getting suspended and it was an indefinite suspension. So I don't know, because those games, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they would count towards, if he had like a 2 or a 4-game suspension, I think those games actually count towards it. So, we're going to find out a lot, but Heath mentioned, though, getting him in the 14th round, it's like, you're not taking much risk. A lot of those guys you're going to end up dropping for waiver wire additions anyway.
And I'd take him a little bit sooner now at this point. I'd take David Moore in the 14th and Josh Gordon the 13th, wide receiver 5 and wide receiver 6th. Okay, Tevin Coleman is running ahead of Matt Breida. Jerick McKinnon's obviously hurt. He's consistently been the primary back in camp, so he's soaring up rankings. Heath, are you a fan of Tevin Coleman, or are you just so worried about this backfield mess?
I'm getting less and less worried by the day. It doesn't seem like Jerick McKinnon's having much luck in trying to come back from his injury. We know, like, Breida, I think, is practicing through an injury right now. And I like what Tevin Coleman has done when he's been involved in the passing game. I mean, he's averaged, I think, over 8 yards per target in Atlanta. This is a pretty good situation. It's going to be a bit of a timeshare, but when I start with 4 or 5 rounds of no running back, this is by far my favorite target.
I like Lamar Miller there as well. If I can get Lamar Miller or Tevin Coleman as my RB3 tags, I'm pretty psyched.
We know what he looked like in an Atlanta office. Even if he's splitting carries and touches with, you know, Matt Breida or Jerick McKinnon, I feel like there's still a role here that he can excel in. You know, they added some wide receivers to help spread things out a little bit. Getting Garoppolo back helps. Again, he knows the offense, so he has a leg up on someone like Jerick McKinnon, who's been out of camp with an injury. Matt Breida is someone that Kyle Shanahan didn't trust last year, even though, you know, he dealt with a lot of injuries, obviously. But, you know, even when he was healthy and on the field, Alfred Morris got some carries. Raheem Mostert got some carries. So this is unfortunately somewhat of a mess. But getting Tevin Coleman where you do, we kind of know what he looks like in Shanahan's offense. And, you know, as a flex, that's perfectly fine.
All right, guys, we're going to move on over to What Are the Odds in just a second. But if you guys want to watch tags get beat by other people besides me in mock drafts, you can check it out Tuesday, August 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern time at youtube.com/fantasypros. Tags, we're going to be giving away some prizes too, right?
We are. We're going to be giving away, if anybody beats me in the mock draft, which, by the way, I'm really hoping doesn't happen. If anybody beats me, they're going to get a free premium upgrade. But even if you're not involved in that draft, if you just head over to the YouTube channel and go in the chat while I'm doing it, they're going to be giving away prizes, swag, all the different types of stuff. So make sure you check it out.
You know, Tags, do you want like a tip on how to win?
A tip on how to win from you?
Yeah, like you said, you don't want anyone to beat. Here's what you should do. When you're making your picks, just think, what would Bobby do here? And then pick that player every time. Then you'll beat everyone.
I can't do that because I want to be honest. When I do a mock draft, I want you guys to know I'm drafting this person, even if maybe the experts might not agree with me. And I'll explain my thought process, obviously, and all that.
Okay. And by the way, guys, we're pretty new on YouTube, but you can check us out at youtube.com/fantasypros. Like, comment, and subscribe. That way we can, you know, we're motivated to do more future content, and we're rolling out some pretty cool stuff here in the next few weeks. So it really helps if you subscribe so that you hear about it. All right, guys, we're jumping into What Are the Odds, and here's how it's going to work. I'm just going to give you a question, and you tell me what the numerical odds are. And Heath, you'll go first in each one. Tags, you'll go second, and then I'll follow up with my take on it. What are the odds that Patrick Mahomes is the QB1 at the end of the year? Heath?
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, I will, like, this is going to be too high, but I will go with 35%.
All right. And a lot of people at home are like, 35%? That's not too high. That's way too low. And there's a lot of truthers out there who don't realize, Tags, that there has not been a quarterback in the last decade to be QB1 back-to-back seasons. It just doesn't happen because TD rate is so volatile.
Yeah,
it,
for sure. I mean, Mahomes, you know, knowing that Tyreek Hill doesn't have any suspension obviously helps. And the defense is so bad that they're going to have some pass attempts racked up. I mean, I'd probably put it actually, and I move, by the way, I move Mahomes up to my QB1 spot once I found out that Tyreek wasn't getting suspended. I'd put that at like a 40 to 45% chance, because I don't want to say 50-50, because I feel like Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson both have a chance to unseat him there. But I'll say 42.5. I'll split the difference.
I mean, you also have to consider there's guys like Matt Ryan 2-3 years ago where everything changes in the offense. His touchdown rate goes through the roof. There's a scenario something like that happens, or Carson Wentz comes in here and he absolutely dominates, or Jared Goff broke out from absolutely nothing, or maybe Jameis Winston matures as a quarterback and he does throw for 5,000 yards, has a high touchdown rate. Kyler Murray, maybe he does run for 1,000 yards. There's all kinds of scenarios where somebody could break out, like Cam Newton, and be the surprise QB1 that I would usually say the QB1 ADP would be 5-10%. I'm going to go all the way up to 20% for Mahomes, and I know that sounds really low, but for me, that's really stretching it. He's still my QB1, don't hear me wrong. I just think everyone else has less than a 20% chance. So, all right, next one. What are the odds Kyler Murray is a top 5 fantasy quarterback, Heath?
Oh, you are asking the wrong guy about this one, because I have not quite bought into all the Kyler Murray hype. Top
me either.
5? That's really, really high. I'm going to say it's 7%.
7%. All right, Tags, what do you have?
I think that's a great percentage to lay on it, honestly. I will also, I'm going to go in that exact range, like 7.5% in between 5 and 10, because I also have not bought into that.
All right, I'm right with you guys. I'll go right with you, Heath. 7%. I think there's a chance, yeah. But, I mean, I think there's more of a chance that Mitch Trubisky is a top 5 quarterback, and no one's super excited about him. If you're waiting at quarterback, you can either go one of two ways. You can go someone like Dak Prescott, who has a great week one matchup and is pretty solid and consistent, especially if Zeke is out. He's a great week one streamer. Or you can go a high upside guy. This is who we said Patrick Mahomes was last year. There were a couple other guys like this where you either get a star or you find out really quick what he is and you just drop him, go streamers the rest of the season. I think that's Trubisky instead of Kyler Murray.
You can get a guy that has both, though, because I think Lamar Jackson has every bit as much upside and starts off the season with the Dolphins and the Cardinals, I believe, and the Chiefs in his first 3 weeks.
That's a pretty good start.
Well, no, for what it's worth, I have Lamar Jackson over Kyler Murray right now in my rankings. It's only one spot, but it's right there.
I do too.
By the way, Kyler Murray's ADP QB12, Lamar Jackson QB18 in ADP. All three of us have Lamar Jackson higher than Kyler Murray. That's interesting.
Yeah, and Murray, he's moving up further and further. Like, he's QB12 right now in ADP, but we've seen that number moving up and up and up. And you know, I think people don't realize if you go watch Kyler Murray play at Oklahoma. Like, the dude had all the time in the world. Like, in terms of his offensive line, what they did for him, like, he did really good. Like, I know he buys time with his legs, but Arizona's offensive line is not good.
And it's a lot harder in the NFL when you're scrambling around looking for a wide receiver over 6'6", 6'7" offensive lineman.
A little bit. I'm not too worried about the height thing. I just think it's more about, like, in terms of his play style, like what I saw. I didn't see enough anticipation while watching his film in college. And that's something in the NFL, like, you're going to need, and it's something he has to develop. And I just don't think it comes overnight.
All right, Heath, what are the odds Melvin Gordon misses at least 2 games from this holdout?
Ooh, I was going to go with a pretty big number, but then you said from this holdout. So we're getting rid of all the injury risk here.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't know how committed Melvin Gordon is. My whole difference between Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott is, historically, it's been a lot easier to get money out of Jerry Jones' pocket than it has anybody associated with the Chargers. I don't expect they're going to cave into his demands. And so I'll go 28%.
Okay. Tags, what do you think?
That he misses the first 2 games. I mean, I've dropped him in my rankings already, so I have to say that misses 2 games. I will say that this is a 40% chance.
I'm going 12%. You know, I think the Chargers are really motivated because, you know, they've got to beat out the Chiefs. If they want a first round bye, it's going to be the Patriots and whoever wins the AFC West, the Chargers or the Chiefs. If they miss Melvin Gordon for 2 games, I mean, I like Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson, but that is a drop off. And if one play costs them 1 game in those first 2 weeks, you know, they could miss out on that bye. So I think they're motivated to sign. I think Gordon's motivated to sign. He knows he's not getting... They've already offered him $10 million. He's not getting much more than that. I think at this point, he's holding out for a couple $100,000, and we'll see him back soon.
I hope so.
All right, same question for Zeke here, Heath. What are the odds Zeke misses at least 2 games from this holdout?
4%.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Tags, what do you think?
I'm moving this percentage up like shortly. I'm going to say 25% because Jerry Jones is like not a guy that like he doesn't bash players. Like he usually throws around money. He's the one who said literally this could go into the season, like months into the season. I think he's more worried about paying Amari Cooper. I think he's more worried about getting Dak's contract done at some point. And I just don't know if he has the money to get it all done in the salary cap. So this one is getting uglier and uglier the more the time goes on. I don't like it at all.
You know, I think Melvin Gordon is a lot smarter than Zeke. Like, if you just hear the two talk, Melvin Gordon is awesome. And Zeke has done a lot of really stupid things in his life. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he thinks he's worth a lot more and he's going to hold out, even though the Cowboys give him some good offer. I'm putting this one up at 25-30%.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And, you know, you said that about Jerry Jones throwing around money. What did they do with Dez Bryant? He was one of their, you know, face of the franchise types of guys, and they just let him loose.
Well, he was at the end, though. We all know that Dez is like was fading towards the end of his time with the Cowboys. So that one wasn't too shocking, like where Zeke is in the prime of his career. Running backs are screwed in today's NFL. Let's just say that. Like the way that the contracts are structured when they're a rookie, it really just screws them over because they're used and abused.
All right, Heath, what are the odds Todd Gurley is a top three fantasy running back again?
I don't think they're very good. Just because I think there's obviously you've got to consider the risk that he just misses too many games to make that possible. I also think there's the more likely problem that the Rams are going to be smart with him because they would like for him to still be good when we get to the playoffs this year. And then finally, I don't think it's fair to look at what he's done the last 2 years and say, okay, let's take away a third of his production and just give him 2/3 of the touches and he'll be this good. Because their offensive line does not look like it's near as good as it's been the last 2 years. And he's been way more efficient than anyone should be expected to be. So I'm going to go with 13%.
13%. All right, Tags, what do you think?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. And I think a lot of the points Heath made were really good. But I still expect that team to be a top six scoring team. And when you're a top six scoring team, the odds like are through the roof that you're going to finish as like a top six running back. But top three, I'll put it at 25%. There's some good names atop the charts, and I could see him sneaking in there, but I don't know if I would put the odds on his side right now.
Remember when Alvin Kamara was RB4 and Mark Ingram RB6? If a team is committed to running, and I think the Rams will be, even though Daryl Henderson's going to be involved, I think Todd Gurley is... I won't say he's better than Alvin Kamara, but I think he can do what Alvin Kamara did in 2017. And remember, Alvin Kamara wasn't even the starter for the first couple weeks because they had Adrian Peterson. I think if Todd Gurley is healthy, he will be a top three running back. Now, that's a big if. I'm going to put it at 55%. I think he has the highest odds of anyone, higher than Saquon Barkley, higher than Alvin Kamara, higher than Christian McCaffrey. But there is a big downside here as well, which is why I've got him RB6.
It's fair. I mean, all points here are fair. And the offensive line, that's the biggest question mark, I guess. But the offensive line has looked good under McVay. So it very well could be that he just masks his offense in a way that offensive line play doesn't matter nearly as much as it did under someone like Jeff Fisher.
All right, guys, we've got a couple more here. Right now we're hearing Chris Carson is the clear starter at this point for Seattle. We heard this previously. It sounded like he was going to have a knee issue, but that's all cleaned up. I was super high on Chris Carson at the beginning of the preseason. Now I'm right back there. Heath, what are the odds Chris Carson is a top 10 fantasy running back at year's end?
Am I going PPR or non?
Let's go half.
Half PPR. I would say, like, if he plays 16 games, I don't think he's quite going to be there, but he's probably pretty close to 50-50, 45% maybe, and then you've got that injury risk to work in. I'll give him a 1-in-3 chance.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like
it. Tags, what do you think?
I like it. You have to factor in, you know, the fact that he hasn't been able to stay healthy his entire career. They have Rashad Penny biting it, like nipping at his heels, you know, to try to earn that starting job. I think Carson is the starter. I think that he's being undervalued in drafts right now. I have him as the RB18, but obviously there is the risk built in. That is a team that's going to run the ball 30 times per game. Like that's happening. So Carson as a top 10, it's pretty tough to get in there, but at the same time, if he remains healthy, he will finish there. If he plays all 16 games, I promise Chris Carson's going to finish top 10. I just can't guarantee that. So I will say, 60% maybe?
Ooh, man, Tags. All right.
I have to assume he stays healthy. I don't ever want to bet on injuries. And it's like, you look at the players around there, and it's like, Devonta Freeman, he's a guy that they've capped his carries, you know, in that offense where it's like he's getting 12, 13 carries. He's splitting a workload. Kerryon Johnson, I worry about the state of the offense. Marlon Mack doesn't catch passes. Damian Williams might lose the job. Aaron Jones might be involved in the timeshare. Joe Mixon plays behind a terrible offensive line. There's just a lot of people on this list that, you know, you look that are above him in the rankings and you're like, I could see him getting over those guys. And I might have went high on my percentage, but I think he plays in a good enough offense that runs the ball enough for him to do it.
Tags, would you say Chris Carson is more injury prone than the average running back?
Not necessarily.
I would say that he is based on his history and based on, you know, he's got the knee issues already going into the preseason. And this is coming from a Chris Carson guy. Of starting running backs in the past 5 years, 30% of them, over 30% of them have missed at least two games. If Chris Carson misses at least two games, I don't think he's top 12. I mean, last year he missed two games and he finished RB14. In terms of fantasy points per game, he was top 10. But if he misses that, I would say there's a 40% chance Chris Carson misses that much time. And if he does start all 16 games, I'd put the odds at maybe 70%. So I'm going to put the odds at right where Keith said, at 28%. And I like Chris Carson. I think if he plays, he's a really good bet to perform. But top 10 is a little bit pushing it. All right, next one here. Here's your guy, Tags, Lamar Miller. And it's funny to say this is your guy. What are the odds Lamar Miller, now that they cut Deontay Foreman, is a top 20 fantasy running back, Keith?
Isn't Lamar Miller always a top 20 fantasy running back?
Yes, yes.
Yes, that's why I asked the question. I want everyone to realize this.
Just 100%? No.
Yeah.
He might get hurt. That's the only risk I see, though. There's not anybody left on the roster that I'm worried about taking. They're not going to make a big trade for a big name at running back. He's been a top 20 running back for the past five seasons, and last year he was number 22 in 14 games. I will put it at 80%.
I think that's an excellent number. Excellent number.
Yeah, I'm going 70%. I think the injury risk's a little bit higher. I mean, he is really durable, but, you know, they improved their offensive line a little bit. This offense is going to score a ton of touchdowns. No competition for targets. Someone said on Twitter, and I wish I remembered their handle so I could give them credit, but this would be a perfect fit for Duke Johnson.
I disagree with that, actually. A lot of people have mentioned Duke Johnson, and they don't use their running backs in the passing game very much, like, at all. Like, it's kind of crazy to see, like, how little the numbers are from both the running back and tight end position in Bill O'Brien's offense. So believe me, there's a lot of teams that could probably use Duke services. I don't think the Texans are one of them.
All right, guys, two more questions here. Heath, what are the odds Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a top 20 fantasy receiver?
I think that's pretty low, just because, assuming Davante Adams stays healthy this year, he's the clear number one. I do think they're going to spread the ball around a little more than they did last year. So maybe you're asking me the odds that one of the two Packers is a top 20 wide receiver. I might say it was a little higher. I don't know that I feel... I basically just ranked Allison and MVS back-to-back because I can't choose between the two right now. 12%.
12%. Okay, Tex, what do you have, man?
I would say this one is probably 10% or less. I actually think Geronimo Allison is the superior fantasy option in that offense. MVS wasn't as good when he had to move to the perimeter. I think he's a better slot receiver, and I was kind of confused by what they were doing with Allison, but if they believe he can play there, then let's do it. Allison, the slot targets are worth more than the perimeter targets to most wide receivers anyway. Based on a study I did this offseason in half PPR, slot targets are worth 11% more than perimeter targets, so I'll take Allison.
You know, Geronimo Allison last year in his first four games was on pace for 171 half PPR points. You know, that would have finished as a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. Now, obviously, that's a small sample size. I do think he's the number two here. I'll say this. I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling has more upside. I think that he could be a star if anything was to happen to Adams. I think Allison is a better bet. So I'd put Geronimo Allison a little bit higher than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think Scantling has a chance, but maybe 10, 15%. So right there with Heath again.
Yeah.
All right, guys, and final one. Heath, what are the odds Tyler Lockett finishes with 100-plus targets this year?
That's a great question, because Tyler Lockett, I just was writing today about regression candidates. He's the poster boy for wide receiver regression this year. He's not going to average 13 yards per target. He is not going to score once every seven targets. But over the course of his career, he's been elite in terms of efficiency with his targets. And if you look at Russell Wilson's history, it is that he throws to his number one wide receiver somewhere between 22 and 25% of the time. That should put Lockett, and I don't think there's anybody challenging Lockett to be the number one wide receiver. that should put him in line for just right at 101 targets. So I'm going to say 60%.
So far in his career, 69 targets, 66, 71, 70. Even when Doug Baldwin was out last year, it was Brandon Marshall who led this team in targets. I like Lockett for what he does, but I think that's what he's limited to. I think he's this gadget receiver, and he's a great one. I don't see it getting above 100 tags. I know how you feel about this as well.
I'm gonna say that this one's like a 30% chance. I think that I don't want to be ignorant to the fact that it's potentially it can happen. It kind of reminds me last year of like a Chris Hogan, where Chris Hogan was a guy that we felt like he was in line for a lot of targets with the Patriots, and like the stars aligned, and he started being drafted in the fourth and fifth rounds of drafts. And I kind of bought into that too, just because it was like, okay, it's natural, like these targets are available, this and this and this. And I see people connecting those same parallels to like a Tyler Lockett. Lockett was extremely hyper efficient last year, and I know people are just looking at it overall what he finished, but he averaged 4.4 targets per game. You know, like Doug Baldwin was not himself last year, so why didn't Tyler Lockett get more targets? Like David Moore had more 7 target games than Tyler Lockett did last year. There was not a game last year where Tyler Lockett had more than 7 targets, and Doug Baldwin did miss time. So I'm not buying into Lockett as somebody that you could rely on for wide receiver 2 production. And you know, when you're talking about 100 targets, I feel like that's, you might as well like guarantee, you know, wide receiver 2 production. So I prefer him as a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside, because that is possible. I just think the odds are greater that he doesn't see those 100 targets.
I've got him wide receiver 30 right now behind Tyler Boyd and Dante Pettis. Don't want anything to do with Tyler Lockett this year in fantasy unless he falls pretty far, and it's not going to happen. I'd put the over-under on his targets at maybe 88.5, something along those lines. So I agree with Tags. I think it's 25 to 30% chance he gets that. And that means that, you know, unless DK Metcalf breaks out, I think that it's David Moore. I think he leads this team in targets. And that's not hyperbole. I really do believe that. I think he's going to be playing, you know, the majority of the snaps. Last year he played 38% of the snaps, and he was still quite good in that time.
Yeah, I'm not on board with the David Moore leading the team in targets, but I think it's going to be just spread around an awful lot. Tyler Lockett's not the same player as Doug Baldwin. That's first off. Like Doug Baldwin was built a little bit more like a bulldog, where it's like he could absorb some of those hits, whereas Tyler Lockett's a little dude. Those receivers over the middle of the field, like there's some big hits coming his way, and that's always concerning. So, I mean, again, it's not that I don't like Tyler Lockett. I just don't think that he's built to withstand a lot of hits over the middle of the field. And if that's the role we're projecting him for, which is that slot heavy role, I don't know. There's just some risk involved with it that I don't want to be a part of.
All right, guys. That's all for today's show. Heath, really appreciate you carving out the time to come chat with us.
Hey, always glad to do it.
And guys, Heath is on Twitter again at HeathCummingsSR. I'm at BobbyFantasyPro, and Tags is at MikeTagliaNFL. Make sure to check out our draft assistant at FantasyPros.com/DraftWizard. And make sure to take advantage of that $65 value for our 6-month Hall of Fame premium package. All you have to do is deposit $10 to Yahoo DFS as a first-time user. You can check that out at FantasyPros.com/offers. And then thanks to the sponsors of today's show, NFL Game Pass. You can go to NFL.com/FantasyPros for a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. And Best Fantasy FantasyFootballLeague.com, where they've got all kinds of cool customizable options, including the 2 games every week, one head-to-head, and then the other one against the league average score. For Heath Cummings and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.